I'm Jennifer Rudolph. I'm from WPI.
Can you move the mic up a little closer?
I'm Jennifer Rudolph. I'm from WPI. I'm not a technical person, hence the problem with the microphone. My training is as a historian. I'm a political historian of China. And so I come at this from a slightly different angle than some of my colleagues here. What I have done, what I've been working on at WPI with some colleagues, is an effort to try to globalize our curriculum. So I'm going to approach this from a slightly different angle than some of the things that have been discussed here. WPI, like many places, has been trying to strategize, you know, what is the place of the engineering curriculum, how do we best serve our students in this global world, and as a result, there was a task force on all things global, basically, that I served on. And as a result of that task force, there was recognition that we needed to do more to foster global awareness, a global mindset, if you will, on campus. At the same time that I was on this task force, there was a group of us trying to establish a China program on campus. China, as I'm sure you're all aware, is a big, important country. And if you're going to engage globally, you can't ignore China, which, for the most part, China had been ignored at WPI. We have a vibrant program for our juniors that John Orr alluded to before, where we send over 50% of our students to project sites around the world, and they work on interdisciplinary sponsored research projects. That's a fantastic experience for those students. We've done some long-term studies that show that the impact on their professional and personal growth is real and measurable. And so this is a great program. We, however, did not have a program in China, which we now do, which is I'm very happy about. But more important, 50% of our students did not go overseas for these transformative projects. And so what a group of us try to do is figure out a way to bring the globe to campus. And how we have done this, just in one small solution, is to create modules. And Larry has mentioned modules a number of times. And what I want to do today, then, is talk about this development of modules that aim to bring China content into the STEM curriculum at WPI. And that way, we are able to reach all of our students. So we've been talking about two different things. You know, do we change the entire engineering curriculum and affect all the students, or do we create programs for a subset of those students as a gateway into engineering or to other fields and a greater engineering mindset? So these modules, I think, are able to address the needs of all students. Not that they all encounter them, but what we have done is we have worked with some professors in engineering. John Orr has been a good sport. He has allowed some of my students to work with him. And we've created these modules that an engineering or science professor can use as they would like in their classes. I'll talk about the problems with this in a little bit. But first, I'll just go over some of these modules and give you an overview, and then I'll talk about some of the other issues. The first one I want to talk about is for a 3,000-level hydrology course in civil engineering. What we wanted to do is figure out a way to bring in case studies from other places that can help foster more comparative analysis in the case for our students. And since I am a China expert, I turn to China. I think this is a model that can be used to bring in case studies from all sorts of places. I'm hoping at WPI we start doing it for places like Africa, where we have a lot of project centers. And for the hydrology course, I brought some of the assignments. What we did is we focused on the Heihe River Basin in northern China, mainly because we were able to find real water data for that place. China is not very forthcoming in giving out data that it thinks is sensitive, and lots of data is considered sensitive in China. So we picked the Heihe River Basin because we had the water data. And the Heihe River Basin is in northern China. It is a large area, approximately 116,000 square kilometers, and it has 1.5 million people living in it. And it has two terminal lakes in the northern part of it, and those lakes are being depleted. in large part because of the desertification that's been taking place in northern China. And the river often runs dry before it reaches these lakes. Okay. There has been a lot of exchange between ground and surface waters. So there's a lot of issues embedded in this river basin, and we wanted our students to start grappling with it, not only so that they could do the quantitative types of analyses and, you know, get those types of calculations down. That's one thing these assignments are aimed to do, to help appease that whole ABET accreditation worry that is in this room. But more important, what it does is it gets our students thinking about what are the important issues surrounding water in a totally different socio-political context. The types of issues in this country around water, let's say in the U.S. Southwest, are dealt with quite differently than they are in China. And as an aside, I love the comment, I think it was Leon from MIT who said something about, well, how do we get the engineers to be leaders? One of the things I do with my students is talk about technocracy. China is a technocracy. A majority of their high leaders are engineers by training and PhDs in engineering. We don't want that form of technocracy in this country, I don't think. Because what happens in China is there's a different equation in trying to figure out what the societal issues are. Who determines water use in China? It's very different. And we have found that one way to bring the world to our students then is to put on their plates these different societal contexts using water issues that they are somewhat familiar with, but they then have to take into account not only the calculations, the quantitative data, but they have to take into the qualitative types of analysis when we ask them to make water recommendations in terms of who gets to use this limited amount of water in China for industrial purposes, for agricultural purposes, and that forces them to take into account the socio-political context. So we're hoping by doing that sort of exercise, we help engender a more global perspective on campus for our students who don't necessarily have the opportunity to go off campus. And it's my own little way to try to broaden the perspectives at WPI and to help foster this idea that we live in a complicated world and what the answers in the United States are not necessarily the answers elsewhere. So that is one example. Another example is we have a module for contemporary power supplies that John Orr worked with some students on. That's information. We have one on the 2008 Sichuan earthquake for a geology class. We have one on the Three Gorges Dam for our first year Great Problem Seminar in a seminar called Power the World. And that one is one of my favorites because it forces the students to get involved in the mega dam debate and how decisions are made with the massive relocation of the population that took place in the Three Gorges Dam area, with the issue of siltation and green energy, all of those types of issues. So those are just two examples of some of these modules. The challenges that I think are involved in taking this approach are you have to find collaborators. I don't have the engineering knowledge to come up with these modules. So what we've done at WPI is we put our students to work. When they have to do their humanities and arts capstone project, sometimes I have them work on a module instead. So they have to have the China knowledge, or I sometimes have had a dual major, an international studies major, work with me on the creation of modules. So the hydrology module, for instance, was created by a double major in civil engineering environmental studies and international studies focusing on China. And he had done his senior year project for civil engineering in China, so he had some knowledge. So we try to piggyback on our students' strengths to get them developed. But one of the big challenges once they're developed is how do you actually use them? And that's something we're still struggling to figure out. Who teaches them? Do I have to go in and teach this content on the Three Gorges Dam? Ideally, no. we want our colleagues in social sciences or engineering or science to be able to use this material to present to their students, and because they know how it fits into their curriculum best. We're trying to get our modules up on a website. We haven't done that yet. I'm hoping that we'll soon have some sort of web presence, similar to what Columbia has done in their Expanding East Asian Studies initiative. And that's pretty much how I got this idea anyway, because I participated in that, and that was to get Chinese studies or Asian studies integrated into the curriculum. And I think this model is scalable, and also it serves as a platform for outreach to K-12, so it has a lot of potential that way. I'll stop there because I think I'm out of time.
Great. Thank you so much.